Radio 1 podcasts.
BBC Radio 1.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1. The Scott Mills Daily.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm Katie. I'm 18 and I'm from Buckingham. You probably remember me from being on Cash in the Attic with my nan. Now on BBC Radio 1, it's my favourite show on the radio. It's Scott Mills!
This is BBC.
This is
BBC.
BBC.
Radio. Radio.
We'll do this new thing, which I've decided to start today, where one of my lovely listeners, that's you lot, introduces the show every day. I like it. Katie was the first person to do it. You remember her. She was on Cash in the Attic with her nan. It was that very famous episode that everyone remembers. Remind me, Katie, when was it again?
Oh, it was about 2 years ago, because she went on it, and I was doing a media production course at college. So I thought it'd be quite interesting, and yeah, I went to her house, I did it, and the director was like, can you be on it too? It would be nice to have, like, a younger face, so...
So are they saying that you're hotter than your nan?
Not in so many words, but...
Well, that is what they're saying, though. I think that's rude.
I thought it was very rude, but yeah, it's been axed now, though, so I'm one of the select few that got the honour of being on it, so...
Did you make any money?
No, not at all, but they did buy lunch, so that was okay.
But you got a sandwich out of it and you had a lovely day.
Exactly, yeah. It was all good fun.
What's more of an honour, doing Cash in the Attic or introducing today's show?
Introducing today's show by times a million.
Is the right answer.
Yeah.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
And I can't believe that Cash in the Attic's been axed.
That's a sad day.
Break it to me like that.
It's like they pulled the plug on something for the weekend. I think they're going to regret it.
What's going on? If you could be on any of those shows, like those daytime shows, what would you be on?
I'd probably go Dickinson's Real Deal.
Is that not just his old show, but with a different name?
Yeah, I love it.
You need to do something where you get a benefit. Like, I'm going to go on Wanted Down Under. Pretend I'm thinking about moving to Australia and get a 3 weeks holiday out of it.
It's true. And then at the end, as they always do, they
just go, nah, don't fancy it.
Bobby and Susan have decided not to make the big yeah. move to Sydney. It happens. That happens every time.
But I'm going on one next week.
Are you?
Yes.
What?
I am going on the Alan Titchmarsh show. That makes it sound like I'm a guest. Actually, I'm not. I've just taken the afternoon off to sit in the audience with the nans.
Right, you're taking... Are you taking half a day from this show to go on Titchmarsh?
Yeah, show off.
Are you serious?
Spend it with Alan.
Okay, good. I want to be on the Gino De Campo one where he cooks the favourite food of your dead relative.
Yes.
That is a good one.
BBC.
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
It was... Someone told me that Barbara Blatchley was exactly the same as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
I think it is. But I've never noticed that before, but I think it is.
No, I've never noticed that before. Yeah. And look, a few people were saying that's not right, but...
It's not at all right.
Well, I'm not... I wouldn't be so sure.
Well, I don't know, it depends if you can sing or not.
Ba-ba, black sheep, twinkle, twinkle. It's the same.
Yeah,
same.
If you've got no tone, then yes. But if you can actually, if you're an actual singer, then no.
All right, well, like yourself.
No, I can't sing it, but I can hear the difference.
All right. Craig's been on from Northampton saying, just got back from Australia, and this song that we just played by Gautier was played all the time over there. They love it while they're chowing down on their chicken salt.
You don't chow down on chicken salt.
We just
you put it,
it
on chips, hot chips.
Yeah. Do you remember when I bought some of that day? That was exciting. I ordered it all the way from Australia.
Have you had a new chocolate malt yet, what I bought you for Christmas?
I've only had one bit. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what era chicken salt, no?
No,
it's a
it's
big thing in Australia.
It's salt flavoured of chicken. It's
lush. I was talking yesterday about how I'd like to go into hibernation sometimes in January and February and just come to work and then go home and watch box sets and films and stuff. And I was just asking for a few new ones. Well, new ones for me are ones that can be up to 5 to 10 years old, as you know. But now you've got something new that I might be interested in watching.
Well, this is my absolute new favourite TV show. It is amazing.
OK, let's have a listen.
Forget everything you know about coupons.
Everything here was either free or I got paid to take it out of the store.
Because you're about to meet two extreme couponers.
What?
Extreme couponing.
Is this a new thing?
It is amazing. No, people have been using coupons for years. They're like really big with nans.
Yeah, I know.
But now it's about extreme couponing. You rack up like a shopping bill of about £1,000.
Yeah.
And then you get it down to like under a fiver.
No.
Just with the coupons.
And that's possible.
Yeah.
So what's the extreme element of it?
But you've saved like £995.
Right.
Just by collecting coupons.
This is ridiculous.
It's not.
It's brilliant.
And they've made a TV show about this.
Yes.
I have dedicated 100% of what I do, my time, my talent, to couponing. This is my special stockpile shower. In here I have 450 rolls of toilet paper and 250 rolls of paper towels. No one needs to yell, bring me a roll. We've got you covered.
What?
Now, the only thing about extreme couponing is that it leads to extreme purchasing, which
sure.
means that you end up with, like, effectively your own supermarket at home.
Right.
So you have to, like, in that woman's case, she's filled her entire shower with loo rolls because she had good offers on the coupons. She couldn't say no. She got, like, 450 loo rolls. Shove it in the shower.
This is great.
Her compulsive coupon collecting has allowed her to build a stockpile that includes 60 boxes of cereal, 70 bottles of laundry detergent, 100 containers of cleaning wipes, and 200 soaps.
I need to start doing this.
No.
Yes.
The only thing is, it does take up a lot of your time. I think I might have to quit here just to do the couponing.
For Jamie, leaving any aspect of her shopping to chance is not an option, down to knowing where every item is located at her favorite stores.
It's an alphabetical listing of every item that this store carries and the corresponding aisle.
Oh my God, I can so imagine you doing that.
But listen to how she gets through so many coupons. How many do you reckon she uses in one trip?
One trip to the supermarket?
Yeah.
20.
I'll go higher than that. I would say up to 50.
With her list, her box of 2,500 coupons, and her store directory in hand.
What?
2,500 coupons per
With her list, her box of 2,500 coupons, and her store directory in hand, Jamie is almost ready.
I think I'm always behind her in the queue. Oh, God, she's getting her coupons out. Oh, she's got 2,500.
So some cashier's got to deal with the coupons.
Yeah. Oh, God, you'd be gutted.
And in one of the stores, they can't just scan the barcode. She's literally like that.
Bing. Oh, no, you'd be there hours.
Bing.
Jamie sets her sights on mustard. This is a prime item in any extreme couponer stockpile. Since mustard doesn't spoil, it can be stored indefinitely.
Wow.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
I have 77 coupons, which is quite a bit of mustard.
Although there is a problem with this. Listen to her husband.
Oh, how many are leaving on the shelf?
We'll leave 3 on the shelf.
No, take 2 more. Make it 62.
I don't even eat mustard.
I forget that all the time.
She's just bought 77 mustards. He doesn't even like it.
Yeah, nor do I.
But also, what I was thinking about this, it's not like ketchup. How much mustard do you actually... I guess American mustard's different, but English mustard, how many of them could you actually eat in a year?
You wouldn't get through it.
That's more than one a week.
But I bet she made some brilliant savings.
After a grueling 2-hour checkout, Jamie walks away with a haul that includes 35 cans of soup, 40 boxes of cereal, 90 packages of cold cuts, 100 cups of yogurt, and 150 condiments that came to a grand total of $1,902.63. With coupons, she paid $103.72.
Gosh.
A 94% savings.
That is incredible.
But she's only got what the coupons say she can have.
Yeah.
You can't just walk in and go, oh, I fancy chicken pie tonight.
So she's bought nothing she wants.
No. Yeah, but she's saved over, like, $1,800.
Yeah, and I think that's well worth waiting at the checkout 2 hours.
After a grueling 2-hour checkout.
I think we all missed that bit. 2 hours she was at the checkout.
Hi, Scott.
Are you an extreme couponer?
I am an extreme couponer.
Tell me.
Well, I started watching Extreme Couponing not that long ago, and we had a trip to America lined up to Las Vegas, so I thought I would try it. So I downloaded a load of coupons, but when we got to Vegas, there aren't that many shops like supermarkets, so the only place I could spend my coupons was the drugstore.
Oh.
So I ended up with masses of different indigestion remedies.
Oh, brilliant.
Which I know I'm not going to use.
No, you probably don't need all that. How many? What, like 100 boxes of indigestion?
Well, the trouble was I had different coupons for different types of indigestion remedies, so I've got everything now in my bathroom cupboard, so I've got kind of chewable tablets, dissolvable tablets, and loads of pink medicine.
Well, that's good, though, because you can eat food as fast as you like, anytime you want.
So if I have my stockpile in my basement, I can eat loads of food and then have all my indigestion remedies to sort myself out.
You've got tablets, you've got powders, you've got the whole lot.
This is adding
up. I did have fun organising my own stockpile, because I love the stockpiles on Extreme Couponing.
Okay, you're a bit weird.
Do you know what? This is adding a whole other level, though, to it. Like, extreme couponing is when you can even make the money back on the flights, so it's actually cheaper to book a flight to America, do your extreme couponing and come back.
Does that happen?
It is to buy this stuff in this country.
That
I don't know. I'm just thinking for the second series.
Wow.
I like it
that you saw it on the internet and thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to download some coupons before I go.
But then you end up buying things you really, really don't need. So we went one day and had hot dogs, which we don't even like, but had a coupon, so I felt I had to spend it.
It could get really messy and really long and really expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of spoils your holiday if you go on holiday, because our holiday was basically based around finding where these places were so I could spend the coupon.
Oh, my God. The whole time.
Yeah.
I love
it's
that.
Like, we have to go to this place because there's a certain hot dog stand which we must go to because I have coupons. It doesn't matter that you don't want the hot dog, but you have to go.
Do you think you spent more money than you would have done?
Oh, miles more. Loads more money.
I love this.
It's good, though, because you feel like you're getting something for nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
really
it's
not.
It's kind of not really true. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Love you, Claire.
Take care.
Take a bye.
Love you.
We're just talking about this programme. Oh, she said love you. I cut her off. Sorry. Scott Mills.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1. This is BBC
Radio 1. It's New Year, but so many of you still wanting 24 years at the tap end in your life because your Tuesdays and Thursdays wouldn't be the same without it. So who are we to argue? If you just finished work or uni or school for the day, sit back and relax your first bit for 2012 of Chris, my friend's autobiography, 24 Years at the Tap End. God, I've missed this.
Right, I'm thinking that I'll take us to the 18th year, if you're keen on that.
I'm keen.
Right then. Ready?
Right.
What's that about?
That's our impression of you.
But it doesn't sound like me.
We got together and planned what our impression would be over the Christmas period.
I spent ages working on that.
Yeah. We had like
you're
a separate meeting about it.
Could Deborah Stevenson do a better one than that? No.
Who's Deborah Stevenson?
She's on The Impressionist.
So my impression's one word.
Yeah.
Brodo.
That's ridiculous. It sounds
took
nothing
us ages.
Like me. Nothing like me.
Nothing like me.
Let's continue.
Right then, my 18th year at the Tap End. It had been another brilliant night out in Watford, and like I did every Tuesday, I found myself being woken up on the floor of Ollie Butler's garage to the deafening roar of a lawnmower.
Well, why did that happen every week?
Well, it was basically we'd go out on a Monday night, stay at Butler's on Ollie Butler's on Monday evening, so come back from the club, stay there.
A.K.A. Sir Dosser.
Yeah, wake up Tuesday morning, but his family have a gardener every Tuesday morning.
That's because he lives, as you remember, in Bel Air.
Yeah, yeah. So it was always annoying. So, the gardener will be up at 9. I obviously wouldn't be, and that's how I got woken up.
Does the gardener sleep in the garage as well?
No, he just turns up in the morning.
Oh, turns up at 9. I thought you said the gardener will be up at 9 and then starts the lawnmower. I thought you two were like...
Nah. What time do the maid and servants arrive?
The problem with the gardener is lawnmower is ridiculously loud. It's one of those industrial ones.
Ones you can sit on.
Yeah, I think
love those.
Think so, yeah.
OMG, how big is the garage to have a sit-on lawnmower?
No, it's not in the... It's outside the garage, Becky. I'm
he
in
turns
the garage.
Up riding it.
I assume so.
Yes! I've never seen anyone ride a lawnmower down the actual road.
Do gardeners bring their own? They must do.
Yeah, of course they do.
Also, I love it that butlers have got actual servants themselves.
Yeah.
There's some irony there.
Yeah, that's true. It was always the worst feeling. The banging headache from the night before, mixed with the sounds of the lawnmower outside. Always at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. It was all worth it, though. Monday nights were student night at Watford. We used to go to a place called Destiny, which has since become an Oceana. I didn't have much money. Generally, it cost about £5 to get in. After that, I could only really afford a couple of drinks if I was to be able to afford a kebab and then a cab home. Generally, though, the cab money often went on that extra drink, which meant that me and Butler would have to walk the long main road between Watford and Northwood to his house where I always stayed. I've just Google Maps this, and it's 4.2 miles. It always felt like more.
That's still quite far.
That's an hour.
That's over an hour, yeah. Anyway, there was no time to be hungover today. We had an exciting day ahead. An event we'd been planning for a while. Our pizza challenge at the hut.
Is this the triple?
No, this is the... You know those buffets?
The triple is when you get the Burger King, KFC and the McDonald's all within sight of each other, so you have to have one thing from each.
I know of only one place where you can steal three, and
there's
I think
very
that's in
rare.
Southampton.
It's very rare. Sometimes people do the quadruple if there's, like, a Pizza Hut as well.
So you've never done the Pizza Hut challenge, basically, Becky?
Do you get a T-shirt if you do it?
You don't, but they should
no,
do that.
No, well, they're kind of not interested. I only do those ones in the pubs where if you eat the massive steak, you get the T-shirt. You've got to get a prize for it.
No, this
or
is
something
just kind
to
of
frame.
It's more like an internal thing between you and your mates, really. Like, it's not a thing in the pizza place.
Oh, okay.
It's just you decide to do it. Because they do have an all-you-can-eat buffet experience at lunchtimes.
I'm aware of this.
Yeah.
Is it you go there and see how much you can do?
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Okay. Well, I do that every time I go. I'm in.
Well, yeah, but you've got to challenge yourself.
I don't
more
leave
than
until I have to undo a button or two. You've got to get a value for money.
So, Phil, you have done it?
Yeah.
Without knowing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you've got to push yourself further than you would comfortably.
Yeah, every meal.
Do you really do that?
Who stops when they're full? Come on, be honest.
This is why I love you. You don't actually physically undo a button, though.
Yeah.
Do you?
It's embarrassing if you've got a belt on.
I didn't realise people actually had to do
holes.
That. Like, I know people talk about, oh, I'm going to have to loosen my belt in a minute. I didn't actually think that happened.
Do you not do that?
No, I've never done it.
But you can push it down a bit so it kind of goes over the top. But if that's too awkward, you have to undo the button and then maybe a little bit of zip.
No. This has never happened to me. I don't think
sometimes they're so tight that they'll stay up even if you've undone the button and the whole zip.
No.
Yes.
Are you actually serious?
Yes.
Has this happened to you?
No.
I mean, people talk really about, weird. Oh, I'm going to have to undo a button.
You see, I'm not that extreme. Some people go for the elasticated waist, but... That's not big in fashion at the moment.
Who
so
does
it's difficult
that?
To get that.
Who do you know that has an elasticated waist trouser?
You wear tracksuit bottoms all the time.
Yeah, but
I
not...
thought you were one of us.
No, you got me wrong. Oh. I'm not.
Disappoint me, Bills.
I spent the day preparing, eating a small bowl of cereal to start the engine. But apart from that, I didn't eat. I wore my most comfortable trousers and got the bus to the hut.
I don't have a pair of most comfortable trousers.
Just jogging bottoms.
All right.
There was roughly 8 of us taking part in the main event. The rules were simple. Eat as many slices as we can from the lunchtime buffet. We got there as early as possible to ensure we had as many hours as we needed to go for it. Everyone was very excited. Although I felt confident in my ability, Jono, who was bigger boned back then, and Chango, who we nicknamed the Beast, looked like strong favourites from the outset. Few of the lads had different techniques. A couple decided to eat as quickly as possible, but I decided to relax, take my time, and employ a bit of a tortoise hare situation. Some people aimed for the fruitier section of the buffet, pizzas like ham and pineapple, and farmhouse slices, whereas others just stuck to margarita. Some went deep pan, others went Italian thin crust. I wasn't tempted to overcomplicate, I kept it plain and simple, Italian thin crust margarita.
You girl.
When I was on about 6 slices, a few of the lads were up to the 8th or even 9th, and already I was starting to feel it. Deep down, I knew I wasn't going to finish this challenge first, but there wasn't a chance I was going to let myself down and come last. Chinese Dave was struggling. I could see it in his eyes. If I could just beat him, I'd be happy. I kept my head down, avoided conversation, and confidently boshed another slice. It was only a couple of slices later I hit the wall. Oh. Looking for inspiration and on the cusp of giving up, the sound of Heather Small came through the speakers. It was a moment, a sign. I knew someone up there was looking down on me, cheering me on. I picked up one more slice, chewed quickly and swallowed. I looked up at Chinese Dave. He was done. He couldn't match it and threw his napkin down.
I look into the window of my mind.
I couldn't face anymore. I was proud of myself. I hadn't come last. As the lads were whittled off one by one, the final two emerged. There was still a battle on. Chango and Webbo were still going at it. What I witnessed that day was incredible. Webbo took a slice, then Chango. The gaps between each slice eaten grew longer and longer. At 18, Webbo could take no more.
18 slices!
We were all proud of him. No one had expected him to do so well. What have you done today to make you feel proud? All eyes turned to Chango, who, knowing what this meant to us, carried on. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Chango had an interesting technique. He'd have one slice normal, then the other one with parmesan as a pudding. So it's like, it would be one on, one off, one on, one off.
Right.
So in his eyes, he was having half as much main, but then there's always room for pudding.
Yeah, it's all psychological.
It is. Genuinely, I think all buffets are psychological. It's just a barrier that you've got to smash through. He did slice 19 and 20. We were all cheering him on. By now, we were getting a few odd looks from the staff. But the way I see it is, buffets rarely get taken advantage of. If anything, with faced with an all-you-can-eat buffet, often people end up eating less than usual.
Agreed. I'm so with you on that. I like the idea of an all-you-can-eat buffet, but when I actually get there, I probably eat less than if it was just a normal meal. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm the same. For some reason, faced with a buffet, I eat less. Becky's shaking her head.
Whilst we're talking about buffets quickly, did anyone see in the paper yesterday those amazing people who've worked out how to get the most into the salad bowl?
No.
Where you, like, make little... You start the foundations with, like, potato. You need to Google this if you haven't seen it. And then you, like, stack around the edges. You make, like, walls of, like... it's turned into, like, an art form. I can't remember what country it's in. You make, like, walls of cucumber around the edges so you can stack it up really high. And that effectively gives you, like... If this is for only one visit, you know, when you're only allowed to go up once, that effectively gives you a massive bowl, which you can then fill with all those bacon bits.
What did we Google for that? I want to see it.
Just, like, salad bowl towers or something.
Okay.
They're salad amazing. It was in the paper yesterday.
Because sometimes that is a challenge in itself.
You know, if you're bored at work or, like, trying to do revision and you can't be bothered, just Google salad bowl towers. It'll waste 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The house always wins. But today we wanted them to sweat a little bit. We wanted to put a significant dent in their pizza stocks. Silence fell across the table as Chango threw his napkin down. That day, Chango, the beast, ate 24 slices.
Oh, my word.
It was one of the proudest days of my life. What have you done today to make you feel right? I always think they should put a plaque up in the restaurant, but they wouldn't allow us in the one in Harrow. But I hope one day Chango gets officially recognised for his achievement that day.
That's a story to be proud of, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But they just, they wouldn't let us. I came back a couple of days later with a framed certificate and they wouldn't let us put it up.
What, you actually took the trouble to get a framed certificate?
Yeah, but ideally I'd like to see a plaque there.
Like one of those blue ones, Chango ate here, 24 slices.
Yeah, or if anyone can do any better, they can rightfully, you know, have their name engraved on a plaque. But I think all restaurants should have at the back, it should be by law or something, some kind of recognition of
those their achievements.
Who've gone beyond in eating food.
I think this is probably the point where I should responsibly say, do not try this at home or in your local pizza restaurant, because you could probably do yourself quite a lot of damage.
What are you saying? It's only for pizza professionals?
It's like, I am.
Professionals only. Chango couldn't move for a week.
See, there's a reason not to do it.
Don't do it. We should also say thank you to Heather Small as well, because I bet when she was recording that song, she didn't think of Chango stuffing his gob with 24 slices of pizza and how it completely spurred him on to go the distance. BBC Radio 1. I've kind of missed this. Do I need to get a life or what?
Did you not play it with the Millses over Christmas dinner?
No, I think we should have, actually, because we don't never really play games. We don't do, like, charades or Monopoly. Maybe I should introduce Innuendo Bingo to my family next Christmas. Right, what's going on with that bin, please? It's rank.
Someone's been using it as an actual bin.
Oh.
It's got a couple of cans.
A couple of cans.
My old lady rain bonnet from last time, a soggy tissue.
Still in there.
And a paper cup.
Okay. So, neither of you are wearing protection today for Innuendo Bingo, no?
No, New Year, and my resolution was to not wear any protection for Innuendo Bingo.
Okay, cool. Well, the idea remains the same. You send in some stuff that sounds a little bit rude off the TV or radio, then we play it while Becky and Chris have water in their mouths and see if they spit it in the bin. It's simple. Leah Hunter, hello. She is playing along on her own. And Lee, near Coventry, is playing with his mum, which is good, but also maybe a bit awkward. I'm not sure I would play Innuendo Bingo with my mum at all. I'm a bit weird. It's one of those things. It's like when the romantic scene comes on the TV. When your mum's there, not necessary.
Mum's probably not, or dad's, but nans and grandads, I think, would like a new and day bingo.
Absolutely. Brothers, sisters and nans and grandads just miss out the mums and dads. Mm. Okay, so first one today. Can we get some water, please? Nice cold water in your mouths. You right there, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This one is spotted by Bradley. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your first bit of innuendo bingo for 2012.
I'm Tom, and I'm a master baker.
Oh, Chris.
Simples.
That's not even what I won. You managed to swallow, Becky?
Yeah, I didn't think that was one.
I'm Tom, and I'm a master baker.
Right. Well done, Tom.
Okay. Next one, please. More water required.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? And this one, an innuendo bingo classic.
Out you go.
Yeah. All over my leg.
Surely not. Oh. This has been months now.
I still got it.
Surely.
Should we ban it?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
More water, please.
You're not going to do it again?
No. Mm-hmm. Ready? Mm-hmm. I won't.
Mm.
I won't. This one is from Raymond Blanc off the telly. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Out you go. Push him along, Tony. Go on, pigs.
Oh, no.
I know you too well.
That went straight in your face, Chris.
Oh,
straight in your face. Okay. More water, please. Mm-hmm. Did you both spit that out? It's still got it, that clip, hasn't it?
Mm.
Months on. Mm. This one is from Raymond Blanc. Ready, guys?
In his 34 years in the UK, Raymond has learnt to love a good stuffing.
Really, it's a big Christmas sausage.
Oh, a double one there.
I didn't have any left for the Christmas sausage.
He sounds so happy with it as well.
I know. Let's listen again.
In his 34 years in the UK, Raymond has learnt to love a good stuffing.
It's a meal of its own. Really, it's a big Christmas sausage.
All right, more water, please. Hello, Anna, who is playing along in the car. I hope you're not driving. And this one, a classic from Innuendo Bingo's Richard Madeley.
Paradise is a man's fishing hole. If you know me.
Chris is gone. Becky still there?
Yeah. I don't know fishing.
Paradise is a man's fishing hole.
Okay, let's move on. And more water, please. Thank you, Monica off London, who spotted this one. And this is Steve Lamack off of BBC Six Music.
Have you ever had to make the call saying, I'd love to, I would have been home tomorrow, but I'm in plaster?
No, touch wood, I'm not going to find some. I haven't, no, I've never really hurt myself too bad. I've been around other people that have, but I've managed to escape the big hits.
Right, if it's any consolation, I'm touching some wood this end.
I knew it.
Oh, God, I love this game so much. It just keeps on giving. Thank you very much. If you played along, let me know on 81199 or Scott Mills on Facebook. That is it. Your first innuendo bingo of the new year.
Can't we have one more?
That was a quickie.
I want just want one more.
Do you?
Yeah. And I think you know which one I want.
Not go on pigs again.
Oh, please.
Really?
Chris isn't wet enough yet.
Okay. But you know what's coming now.
Ooh.
Okay. Right, maybe we'll do another one as well. Okay. We'll do go on pigs in a minute, okay? First of all, this one.
Out you go. That's it. Push him along, Tony. Go on, pigs. And you, straggle across.
Oh, nice bunch of wieners, Neil.
Only the best for Bridge Farm.
Why still? Are we ever going to not play this? Okay, one more for you.
Oh, hang on.
Seeing as you asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Cliff Richard, is it?
It's not Cliff. Oh, yeah. That is my favourite one ever. Right, this one from One Extras, Mr. Jam.
Excited to see the live music.
Yeah, it's a big night tonight.
It's a massive night tonight. I mean, this time last year, I was sneaking Jesse J in the back door.
Legend.
That's it for this week. If you see anything or hear anything on the radio or TV that you think would be suitable for Innuendo Bingo, email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Go, Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Somebody from America has just been on my Twitter going, hooray, the free download's back. Where was it? Well, we haven't been on for the last couple of weeks, which is why it just kind of hasn't been there, because there's been nothing to put on to download. But now we're back. So hello to all of our listeners. Put this on tomorrow. Hello to all of our international listeners worldwide. Hello, Europe. Hello, Asia. Good afternoon, Australasia. Hello, America.
I was also going to add, new and exclusive for 2012. Going to put the handover chats on.
All new for 2012. The handover chats between me and Zane Lowe.
Only because I was accosted in the street when I went home. And he was like, "Era, Becky, when are you going to put them handover chats on the podcast?"
Get them on. He's right.
So they're now on the daily download.
I forgot Africa and Antarctica as well. Hello, Africa. Hello, Antarctica. Hello, Zane.
Why did you not put the mic up until you'd said hello to Antarctica and Africa? Am I not allowed to say what's up to Antarctica and Africa?
No, go for it. I was just saying hello to our international listeners who might get the Scott Mills daily free download.
Still plugging. It was just interesting to me that, you know, I was not allowed to speak until you had bigged up the continents.
Sorry about that.
it's the way it rolls.
It's like you own. It's like you have ownership over the continents.
The world.
Over those two specific continents. Like, you want the hot and you want the cold. And I'm not sure I appreciate that.
Sorry.
But then again, I did listen to your show today and I did laugh and I did enjoy it.
Did you?
Very much.
Thank you very much.
I wondered, you know, are you good in the kitchen?
Hell no.
What can you cook?
I had a go at making soup a couple of weeks ago.
And what kind of soup?
It was just a tomato
just
soup.
Can you describe it for like 30, 40 seconds, the experience for
sure.
us?
Sure.
Go.
So, I managed to put some soup. What is this? Oh, right, okay. So I managed to cut up some vegetables. I know what this is now. And then some onions. And then I simmered them for a while on a pan.
This has got a really long intro if it's not edited. So you're going to be talking about soup for a long
pan.
Time.
So there was the pan with the vegetables. Yeah. And that would, I'd say, go on for a little bit. And then I think, from what I remember, I had to put the vegetables in the oven to kind of oven roast them, I think. I can't quite remember.
Is this the one where when you blended it, it went all over the floor anyway?
Yeah, okay, I'm getting to that bit. So, I've cooked the vegetables. They're ready to go. I put them in the blender. I'm supposed to blend for about 60 seconds. I put them in the blender, I blend them, I take
what?
The blender off.
Huh? What?
Take the blender off the thing. The bottom falls out of the blender and the soup goes all over my kitchen floor, looking like vomit. That's what happened.
Pictures on Facebook.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
BBC Radio 1.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the Matt Edmondson Show? Available to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.